Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Friday morning. We are live. It is February, the month of February 2020, that is, and the date is February 7th. Is that what it is, the 7th? Yes, it is the 7th. Praise God. Hey, we've got a great broadcast lined up for today. We're going to talk about some biblical prophecy along the way, but I want to share some stories with you about our ministry right here in Northwest Arkansas and some things we've been doing in the last few days. And I think really the motivator for the conversation today is a few days ago, about five of us got together in our church, New Wine Ministry, and we went up and cut some trees down on our property. And that was quite an adventure. I don't know if you've ever cut down big trees before. It is an amazing thing involving tractors, chainsaws. I mean, it's really intense work and it's pretty amazing. And what we did was cut down the dead trees and they were just kind of taking up place and we needed firewood and that was good. So we were out there for probably a good 5 or 6 hours cutting the trees down and things were going great. They were going very smooth. And these big trees were falling, and then the chainsaw crew would come around, we'd cut them up, then we'd haul them up with the tractor, and then they had their log splitter. And I mean, it was just working so well. And as we were nearing the end of our day, there was this one tree that was situated between a home, one of the little mobile homes up on the property, and an electrical unit. And this was a huge tree. I mean, really, red oak. It was just huge. And it was so, I mean, it took so long to, you know, take the chainsaw and really work through it. And long story short, we needed that tree to fall in an exact way. And so the gentleman that was leading up the whole thing had tied, you know, chain around it to a tractor, make sure it fell in the right way. He'd calculated it in his mind. And man, it was risky business because that house, if that thing ever fell on it, would crush it. That's how big the tree was. And I was praying a lot. But here's what happened. We went at that tree for over an hour, and the chainsaw was getting through, and we were just waiting for it to fall. The tractor had it lined up. We had actually had it tied around another tree, massive tree, so that it would fall not on the house, but just to the right of it where it could land in an open space. Well, we couldn't figure it out for a moment. And the tree was waning, like it would just, you know, you get to that moment where just it's timber, it's ready to fall. But way up top, the branch, one of the massive branches on this tree, had caught another branch of another tree. This is a wooded area. And so it was hung up and it just wouldn't come down. And we tried a number of different things. And finally, Brother Bill got in the tractor, got it straightened out. And this is about an hour and a half into this. And he went forward and the thing fell. And it was a perfect landing. I mean, a perfect landing. Didn't touch the house. And I remember looking at Pastor Ken. He was standing right there, maybe 2 feet from where that thing fell. And he didn't budge. And the thing came right down at him. And he just stood there. Man, I hightailed it out of the way. And then I looked at him. I said, what are you doing? And he says, well, I saw the distance. I thought if you missed by that much, but he did good. We got it down. But what's the point of that, of telling you that story? How does that relate to Bible study today and what we're going to talk about? Well, there's a scripture in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3. And I know that you're all very, very familiar with this passage. And it's also in Luke. So Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, here's what we read. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And then in Luke 3:9, it's basically the same thing. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So in the Gospels, we have this idea, and it's clear that the prophet John the Baptist was referring to the nation of Israel. And then he said the trees, okay, in both places, the root of the trees, and he was referring to nations. And trees could be actual trees. Trees represent people, but they also represent nations. There's no doubt about that. Israel was often compared to a fig tree, if you will. And there were trees spoken of in Scripture everywhere. So I've been thinking about this. You know, I thank God with all my heart. Nobody got hurt that day. It was an awesome day. They handled it. It was like being in you know, boot camp, man. It was awesome. And the trees fell perfectly. Everyone, our friends got together that were part of that, and just it was excellent. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about where we are in the history of our world today. As you probably heard, two cruise ships, Royal Caribbean, I believe, was one of them. And then there was another one. I think 12 passengers on one had all the feeling of the coronavirus. So they're being quarantined right now in New Jersey, of all places. And then there was another one carrying 400 American passengers. I think there's like 1,200 people on the ship, and 60 of them were sick. And so the cruise ships, okay, there people are getting sick on these cruise ships, and we're all learning with coronavirus, what are they called, the bird flu, these different viruses, bacteria, SARS, whatever it is, that being in big groups of people that you don't know could be a very dangerous thing sometimes. Going on a cruise ship, you're taking a risk. Being in a large stadium, you're taking a risk. Being around a crowded mall area, you're taking a risk. I mean, that's just the way it is in today's world. You have to be careful. Even in big inner cities, you have to be careful. One airborne virus could do a lot of damage. We know that's true. But what are the signs all about? You know, we're seeing again terror in Israel, where a terrorist took a car, drove into 12 people, and I think killed a number of them. And then there was another shooting, and they're expecting a wave of violence, possibly. And you hear that word Hamas, you know, the terror organization Hamas. Well, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, violence covered the earth. The word violence in the Hebrew is Hamas, same exact spelling. It's just a hard, it's a C, but it's silent. It's Hamas. And so we know what the word violence means. And so violence seems to be rising. We see violent tones everywhere. We see violent tones in our government. We see violent tones in these proceedings that have just ended, but now we're going to begin again. We see really, really harsh rhetoric. And so when you put it all together, you hear of the wars, the rumors of wars, when you think about nations in turmoil, distress of nations, men's hearts failing for fear of what they see coming upon the earth, there's all these issues going on. Well, what's really happening is the question. What is really going on? Well, according to Matthew and Luke, these two gospel writers, the prophet John the Baptist said that there was an axe laid to the root. And if the nation that does not bear fruit, it's going to be cut down. And I'm wondering about the United States of America today, because it appears that the chainsaw, the axe, has been laid to the root of our nation, but it's not falling. There's another limb on another tree holding it up, even though at the base, the nation has been hacked away. And it appears, if I'm understanding this lesson properly, that there's an event that's going to come in just a moment, like the tractor that finally pulled that tree and dislodged it from the branch above and it fell. There's an event that's ready to come that's going to dislodge, and that this nation, that we're not seeing it, because if you were to walk over, you would see that the tree was a little bit bent, but it was that way before we started anyway. It was kind of leaning over. But most people wouldn't recognize that thing, if they didn't see the base, that it was ready to fall. So this event, I believe, this axe, what is the axe that is laid to the root of the trees? Well, in Isaiah chapter 10, you know this story very well. In verse 15, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that hews therewith? In other words, is the axe to boast, or is the one that's holding the axe? Or shall the saw, talk about a chainsaw, shall the saw magnify itself against him that shakes it or uses it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. So in other words, the axe and the saw, let's just stop right there. Should they boast because of their ability to pull out, you know, chop the tree down? Or was it the person holding the axe, the person holding the saw? Well, the axe in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 15, were the Assyrians. The axe that was laid to the root of the nation of Israel to cut it down once again. How many times, right? The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, you know, it just goes on and on. The Romans, these are major powers, but it's God that's wielding the axe. It's God that is wielding the saw. He's using it. It's God that moves the rod. And so whatever it is, it prevails because God is behind it. Now, what branch? Is there another nation holding up right now this country? What is holding it up? There's some branch up there that's holding it, but the axe has been laid to the root. So I'm not going to suggest that God is upholding our nation, a nation that has blasphemed him, a nation that has, you know, done what it's done. I just can't imagine, looking through the biblical lens, that God's upholding America. Does he give time for nations to repent? Absolutely. But do we see repentance? No, we see a greater divide. And what is that greater divide? It is a sign of the times. The turmoil that we see all over the world, it's a sign of the times. They're everywhere. And we just refuse to be quiet about what we see. We're not going to, you know, give in to American patriotism. We're not going to give in to the political propaganda. We're not going to be swayed by every wind of doctrine. There's a very absolute continuation of biblical reality that tells us what's happening in our country is judgment, that the axe has been laid to the root of this nation because it wasn't producing good fruit. 90 million abortions, 500 million abortions through taxpayer dollars around the world, homosexual marriages, the promotion of every kind of wicked thing coming out of Hollywood. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Deception, trickery, lies. I mean, it's all there. And a good economy, again, is not a sign of repentance. That's Babylonian. I mean, the Babylonian reality is that they are rich and increased with goods. That doesn't make it repentant. Babylon is going to be destroyed. And regardless of how luxurious it looks and how, you know, exciting it is and, you know, all the stuff that goes on within the Babylonian environment with the rich men of the earth and all that kind of thing, that is a deception. If we're looking at wealth or economy or how big our cities are or our military, how big it all is, and if we're trusting in what we see with our eyes because we live in America, we're not witnessing that the columns beneath our nation, the pillars that upheld it, the pillars, the foundation of our nation, the Bible, the Constitution, these massive pillars, they've been hewed at for generation now. I mean, the biblical reality, the column that upheld our nation, the gospel, it's been under siege since the 1960s, probably a little before that, but the 1960s was the real deal. The Constitution has been hacked away at. And so these major pillars beneath our feet upholding a nation are trembling. They're collapsing. They are caving in. And the tree at the base has been cut. It's cut. It's cut. And it's just leaning on some branch. Something's holding it up from the Great Fall, which gives a little bit more time. But the reality is that there's an event, a tractor that's going to pull this thing off of whatever is holding it up, and it's going to fall. And great will be the fall. And I don't think we can deny that. I don't think we can reject that idea. And who is the axe today? Well, it's not Babylon in the days of Jeremiah or the Assyrians in the days of Isaiah or the Romans in the day of John the Baptist. So who is the axe today? Who is the saw today? Well, to me, the Bible is very clear. And I believe in the book of Revelation, we have a very clear sign given to our generation that maybe 100 years ago did not exist. 100 years ago, we didn't read the book of Revelation and see in the world things that may have lined up with it. For example, we didn't see 100 years ago Revelation chapter 6 with a possible understanding. And what is that? That there were four horses, and these horses represented people groups. We get that from Zechariah chapter 10. But we never stop to consider, well, the color of these horses, a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a light green color horse. And nobody said 100 years ago, well, hey, that's interesting. White, red, black, and green represent the colors of Islam today. The entire Middle East is loaded with those colors. I mean, everything is about that green color, that red, that white, that black, the flags of the Palestinians all over the Middle East. Those colors are there. So are we picking up another unveiling? Is there a sign being presented before us as we're reading the book of Revelation that in the last days, when the first seal opens and the prophecy begins to unfold, it's going to begin with a people group known as the White Horse? And the rider on it would be maybe the Mahdi or the Islamic Hadith or the Quran or Muhammad, the inspirer of the horse, just like Jesus rides his white horse. And the white horse, again, it says in Zechariah chapter 10 that Judah is my goodly horse, fit for the battle. So Jesus rides a horse, a people. I believe the overcomers, the 144,000, just whoever they are. He's got a horse. It's not a literal horse flying through the sky. Zechariah 10, Bible prophecy, makes it very clear that these horses are people groups. So the white horse, Al-Qaeda, 9/11/2001. The red horse of revolutionary war throughout the entire Middle East. We saw that in the red horse throughout 2010, the Arab Spring. The black horse of famine and economic imbalance. We've seen that around the world. The light green horse of ISIS that began to move through the earth. And these horses or these people groups, they don't go away after their one victory. Remember, the white horse, he received a crown for his victory, but he went on conquering to conquer. He didn't stop. 9/11 2001 through a people group called Al-Qaeda, and that's what we were shown. They didn't stop writing. ISIS, these groups have gone forth, but what were they? They were the representatives of the signs of the times, the beginning of sorrows. So do you see that the world, the entire world, began to move into a different phase since 9/11 2001? Did you recognize since 9/11 2001 that our world changed? Going to an airport was never the same. The Patriot Act came in, the invasive NSA, and the privacy of American citizens and people around the world was now no longer private. Did you notice how things changed? And then we went to war, you know, the red horse of war. The president of the United States, George Bush, said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And so we went on this war in the Middle East, but also the Arab Spring. So the sword of war was released. And then all the things that followed it. So have you recognized with the arrival of ISIS and all these different things from the people of the Middle East? And why is that important? Because you go back and let the Bible interpret itself. You go back to Ishmael. You know who Ishmael is. He's the son of Abraham. And Abraham's firstborn son was Ishmael. He will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man's hand, and every man's hand will be against him. So why, if Ishmael, the wild man, who is an archer, by the way, and you know that in Revelation 6, the white horse and the rider on it had a bow, and you again consider in Genesis chapter 21:20, I believe it is, that Ishmael is an archer. And that's what you do when you're an archer. You carry bows and arrows. There were two aeroplanes that flew into the Twin Towers on 9/11 2001. Regardless, Ishmael was the first to persecute the promised seed, Isaac. When Abraham and Sarah gave birth to Isaac, the promise was to go to him, because the Ishmael reality was born out of man's impatience, Abraham's impatience, Sarah's bad idea. Hey, God wants you to have a son. You better have one. I can't do it, so you better go into Hagar. She's an Egyptian. So Abraham goes into Hagar, produces an Ishmael. But that's not the promise. God comes back and says, listen, your wife is going to bear a son. She's going to have a son. Sarah's going to have a son. She laughs. She has a son, Ishmael, the promise. Or she has Isaac. Ishmael, 13 years old, begins to persecute Isaac. So that is the ongoing battle that's been in the world since that time. So why would we, if the end is revealed from the beginning, why would we consider any other source than the source at the beginning that brought persecution, which was Ishmael? And who is the line of Ishmael? Well, that is your Arab world today. He was made a great nation. His name means God hears. So God has been using Ishmael, whether it's through the Egyptians, whether it's through the Assyrians, whether it's through the Babylonians, whether it's through the Romans or the Medo-Persians. God has used Ishmael, the lineage of Ishmael, throughout the history of time. Now we're in the last days, and the end is revealed from the beginning. So why would we be surprised that Ishmael is still alive and well in the earth today, and that he's going to bring the persecution and the tribulation to Israel and the friends of Israel, whether that's the United States, Great Britain, the West, democracy, whatever it is, and that this is being set up in the last days, and we have witnessed the arrival of the first seal opening in our generation? Did we recognize it? You know, the Jewish people did not recognize Messiah when he came. He said, you missed the day of your visitation. It's very easy for religious people to miss major Bible prophecy. How do you miss the Messiah? Something you've been prophesying for 4,000 years. Now he's here and you don't recognize him because that doesn't fit in. Did we miss what happened on 9/11 2001, the beginning of sorrows? In fact, it actually says of this bow, it's the word toxin, which actually means a woman in travail. Have you ever studied out the word bow? I mean, it's amazing. It talks about a fabric, which could be, the parchment. It could be what is written in the Hadith or the Quran. This writer, there's in something inspiring, the writing, but it also means a woman in travail, or to produce, or to bring forth. So the first horse of Revelation chapter 6 brought forth the beginning of sorrows. Have we not been in this turmoil ever since? And are we not witnessing it today? Have we not seen, you know, this reality? And I can't believe we should take our eyes off the ball at this point. We cannot afford to miss what's going on here. Right now, the provocation in the Middle East, the people in the Palestinians today were burning the flag of the deal of a century that the president just unveiled last week sometime. And what did they do? They're burning him. They're burning the flag. The call of the people, the Palestinians, to anybody that supports the deal is treasonous. So the provocation has come again. It's always been here since Ishmael. It's coming again. This time it's a little bit different because the biblical reality is that these four horses of Islam have left the gate. They're running. But now things are being taken to another level. We are witnessing things all over the world. And there's been a hewing. There's a hewing. The axe is being laid to the root of our nation. We have offended God. And I guess we don't get the fact that we've offended God. We think that God is unoffendable. I beg to differ. God will be offended. God can be offended, but his offense is not based on his emotion and, you know, in that sense. We offend him when we promote blasphemous laws. We offend him when we do things and promote things legislatively that he absolutely condemns. So what we see is a nation in turmoil. There's a struggle within our nation. There has been. And that struggle has now come to the president of the United States using foul language, on TV for the whole world to see. This whole thing was bull blank. I mean, a lot of people probably said, yeah, I absolutely believe and concur. You're right. But maybe you should have used a different tone because, you know, you're giving fuel to the fire here. And Nancy Pelosi with her vehement hatred. I mean, you're witnessing it. You're in it. So what's going on? The tree that has been hewed at because we took God out of schools in the 1960s. We promoted abortion, the shedding of innocent blood. We've been in infamous wars. Things have never been right since the times that we begin to make our war with God through the ACLU, et cetera, et cetera. So we have a tree that is cut all the way through, but it's hung up on a limb. And I believe, once again, soon, from this moment forward, soon, now, we're going to see an event, a tractor, pulling this tree down. What could it possibly be? What one event could possibly, within a divided nation, and you know and I know, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. So what will it be? Well, this is something that we all need to be praying about. I mean, there's some ideas and speculations, and there are, you know, theories that people have what it could be. I just wonder if the Bible hasn't predicted it itself. We know in the book of Revelation that right after the four horses leave the gate, the fifth seal is just about people that have died through martyrdom. There are souls under the altar. They're crying out, "How long till you avenge our blood?" And they're given these white robes. They're told to just wait until your brethren die the way that you died. So it's a suggestion of more martyrdom. They're telling us that in the last 100 years, there have been more people killed for their faith in Jesus Christ than in the previous 1900 years. Okay? The Book of Martyrs talks about this. The persecuted church. I mean, globally. You can't just view the church as being in America. So I have to have a global view of things. So the fifth seal is just all about the souls under the altar crying out, being told to wait because there's more death coming, more persecution coming. The sixth seal seems to be the event. And it doesn't have to do at the moment with Ishmael. Ishmael brought things on, the beginning of sorrows. The sixth seal happens to do with a great earthquake, a massive global shaking. Now, symbolically, this massive global shaking could be an economic collapse all over the world. How would that happen when we're boasting the greatest economy in the world ever in America today? It doesn't seem possible right now that an economic collapse, they're not concerned about the $55, $80 trillion debt. They don't seem to care about that. the global community, the United Nations, the great nations of the earth. They don't care about that. You know, we say that's a problem. And I think it probably is, but maybe it is a global event. Maybe it is this global shaking is symbolic of Revelation chapter 6, where mountains, every mountain and every island will be moved out of their place. Symbolically, every mountain could represent every great nation, the mountain empires, the mountain nations, the G7, the G8, whatever they are, great nations. They'll be moved out of their place. And every island, a smaller nation, will be moved out. So something of a great shaking has to move every mountain and island out of their place. A great mountain, he says, I'm going to bring the mountains down. John the Baptist said, I'm going to exalt every mountain. I'm going to exalt every valley. I'm going to bring every mountain down. What great shaking, what event will allow for the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the United States of America, to be dislodged? Well, what is it? The sun, moon, and stars are involved in the sixth seal. The sun no longer gives her light. So we have no longer any wisdom. The sun, moon, and stars are used in astrology all the time. In fact, Isaiah the prophet, he boasts against the people of his day by suggesting that where are now your prognosticators? And let me just get that up here. I don't know how to spell it very good. Prognost, how do you play that? Prognosticators. Let's see if I spelled it right. Nope, I did not spell that right. Hey, let's see. Prognosticators. There we go. Let's see if I can get myself a scripture. It's in Isaiah. There it is. Isaiah 47. So sun, moon, and stars, right? So Isaiah 47, here's what it reads in verse 1. You ready? Let's just take it verse by verse. Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Ha. Huh. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. So the daughter of Babylon, Babylon goes back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11. Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, the desire of Antichrist to sit in the sides of the north, Lucifer to ascend, to call himself God. I mean, that spirit is in the world to have their own, right? Every empire has its Nimrod. So he's saying to the daughters of Babylon, and this particular daughter, sit down in the dust. You've lost your empire. Verse 2, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover your locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Are we seeing things uncovered in our country today? I believe so. Your shame shall be seen. We're seeing a lot of shame. Jeffrey Epstein, Weinstein, the left. I mean, there's so much of it. Where do you? We just promote shame in our country through Hollywood, right? I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 5, sit thou silent, get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. All right, that's very telling. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted my inheritance and given them into thine hand. God was wroth with his own people. He polluted his own inheritance, turned them over into the very hand. I have laid what? A very heavy yoke upon them. Verse 7. You have said, and this might be to the United States, I shall be a lady forever. This is the cry of Babylon. You see it in Revelation 18. You said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not lay these things to your heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. In other words, you're not laying to heart all these judgments, all these stripes, all these bruises, everything we're saying to you, everything that's going on in your country. You're not taking it to heart. You're just passing on, right? And you're not remembering the latter end, where it's all going to lead. Where does it end? Verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, you that are given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that say in your heart, I am and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Sounds like the boast of a nation that has offended God, that's standing in its own pride, full of pleasure and luxury, and just says, you know, nobody's going to take me down. We're the greatest nation in the world. And yet verse 9 says, but these two things shall come to thee in a moment. In one day, the loss of children, widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection for the multitude of your sorceries. and for the great abundance of your enchantments. Now, let's take a look at this for just a moment. What is the word sorceries here? Okay, this is all going to come, and I believe this is the tractor event, okay? It's all going to come because of your sorceries or the kishef. And the word kishef means magic or witchcraft. Magic or witchcraft. You think there's a lot of magic and witchcraft in the atmosphere today through rock and roll music, through all kinds of satanic ritual going on? Well, it's because of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. The word enchantments is the kavir, and that also means a charmer, a magician. It means a society, also a spell. Do we have secret societies? The enchanter means a society. We talk about secret societies from the Freemasons to the Illuminati to the Club of Rome. I mean, we talk about these things in our generation like none other. So he says you have an abundance of this stuff going on. And then verse 10, he's telling him why these two things are going to happen in what? One day, the loss of children, widowhood. For you have trusted in your wickedness. Wow, how do you trust in your wickedness? You have said, none sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. Any wisdom and knowledge apart from the wisdom and knowledge of God will eventually end in disaster. Would you agree? And what wisdom was there in promoting shedding of innocent blood? What wisdom was there in promoting homosexuality and marriages between men and women? Where was the wisdom of allowing Hollywood to break the band of restraint where you weren't even allowed to use the word damn in our country because it sends shockwaves? Now we have presidents using foul language before the national. You better pray for that, man. God's using them. And again, I'm not trying to soften things, but still, it's hard for, well, I don't want to get into that right now. Here. So he says in verse, where are we at here? 10, the latter part of verse 10. The wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you, and you have said in your heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore, because this is your stance, you're not listening to the judgments, you're not paying attention to the warnings, you're going into all things, but you're not getting to the place of confession and repentance and brokenness before your God, who is your husband that held you up, particularly the United States. We made a covenant with God through Jesus Christ, okay? Verse 11, therefore shall evil come upon you. You shall not know from whence it riseth. So everything is speculative. We don't know what that one event is that's going to pull this tree down. But it will come, and you will not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you. The word mischief, the word mischief means ruin. Ruin, the hova, misfortune, calamity will come upon you. That's not a good thing for us. And listen to this. Mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. So a suddenly that will bring ruin upon a nation that refuses to confess, humble itself, and repent. A nation divided, a house divided cannot stand. Again, we're not being emotional right now. We're getting into our human intellect. We're looking at the Word of God and the condition of a nation that has not borne the fruits of the kingdom of heaven. And if God dealt with Israel and gave it to another people that would bring forth fruits, and he took Israel down, which that tree was chopped down in 70 AD and only came back to life in 1948, which is another prophetic sign. What is he going to do to a nation like ours? All right, so you got to stand and now watch this in verse 12. Stand now. This is almost a mockery against that nation. Stand now with your enchantments. Again, what are your enchantments? That's the kever. Again, your spells, your charmers, your secret societies. It's literally what it means. Stand now with them. Think that you're the prowess of Freemasonry, the prowess of Bavarian masonry, the prowess of, you know, Knights of Malta, or, you know, whatever it is, the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations. There's so many of them, right? He says, stand now with them and with the multitude of your sorceries. Take all your magic. Take all your witchcraft. You know, be the magicians before the throne of Pharaoh and throw your sticks down and change them into snakes. You know, use all of it. Stand now with them, wherein you hast labored from your youth. If so be, you shall be able to profit. If so be, you may prevail. So in other words, God puts the challenge out. You're going to stand against me. You're not going to receive my words. You're going to resist my words. You're going to hold on to your magic, your secret societies, your witchcraft, your rebellion. You're going to hold on. You're going to trust what? Verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. What does that mean, to be wearied? It's la, the la. To be impatient. It means you're to tire. It means to make or be disgusted, to grieve, to loathe, right? So you are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. And then God says this, and this is getting back to Revelation chapter 6 about the sixth seal. Let now the astrologers. What is an astrologer? There's two words, the havar, and that is interesting. Listen to this. The word havar literally means a derivation, or to be a horoscopist or a astrologer, and it means to cut up, to divide out. Wow. It means those who divide the heavens for purposes of augury, taking a horoscope, in other words, peering into the heavens, going all the way back to the Tower of Babel. They augured their way and they wanted to create space and break through into another dimension. Okay, these are the astrologers. That's one of the words there, the havar. The other word for astrologers is the shamayim, shamayim. And that is the word that we get for heaven. Okay, so the astrologers are wanting to augur through space. Again, think about CERN over in Europe. They wanted to go through space into interdimensional. That goes all the way back to, again, what they were really attempting to do, bore into heaven in the days of Nimrod. And it talks about the visible universe. It gets into all of this. So what are they? You're wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, those that bore into the heaven, try to get the signs, and the stargazers. Let now the astrologers and the kozei. And what is the kozei? It is a beholder in vision. It is a prophet or a seer or a gazer, but it's not a prophet of God, a seer of God, or a gazer of God. It is the magician prophets. It is the sorcerers, right? So these are the kozei. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators. And what is a prognosticator? It's the yada. It's those that know. You know, Nancy Reagan, President Reagan's wife, was deep into astrology. There's people everywhere in Hollywood and in Washington, D.C., deep into this stuff. There's New Age, metaphysics. I mean, there's just deep astrology, witchcraft, sorcery, and prognosticators. And they were basically people that perceived or were instructed by another spirit about what to expect in the worldly things. And they were right. When it comes to the earth, listen, it works. It works. Their magic works in the earth. The only time it ceases to work is when God intervenes and begins to show off his power. Okay? So going back to Isaiah 47. He says, again, let me read 13. Thou art wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. So God is saying, all right, if you think you could save the people through this mechanism against me, what will happen. Verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. In verse 15 says, thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from your youth. They shall wander, every one to his quarter, none shall save thee. So what is God really saying here? It appears that God is saying that in the sixth seal, the sun, the moon, the stars, what the astrologers, the prognosticators, the stargazers would look into for signs for earthly things, the zodiac, okay, but not having the biblical mind of Christ to read it like Abraham did or Daniel did, okay? Their wisdom is going to fail. Something's going to happen. They don't know where it's coming from. It's going to be a suddenly that's going to pull the tree down. It's just leaning right now against a branch. But that branch, you know, Yeshua was called the branch. That branch is being taken. It's going to be removed. And I don't believe, and thank God there are Christians in this country. I can't even begin to fathom. I mean, I have some ideas what this event will be. But the scripture says you will not know. And maybe the world will not know, but maybe God's prophets will know. And maybe God's seers will know. And maybe God will reveal and unveil what it is that will take this nation down in a day. I will share with you what I believe it is, what I was shown in 2004, a long time ago. I believe that Ishmael will be employed in the pulling down of the nation. One final thrust, a tractor pulling the tree down. And I believe what they want to do, it may sound archaic and awkward, and people said, well, we left that conversation long ago. I believe the one-day event, possibly, is that the terror groups that have been so patient and waiting, not knowing that God is going to allow this event to happen, they want to detonate 7 to 15 dirty bombs or nuclear weapons in the United States. That's where they want to go. If they are able to detonate in one day dirty bombs. Look what happened to our nation in Boston when a crockpot bomb went off during a race. The whole city of Boston was shut down, right? So what happens when 7 to 15 nuclear or dirty bombs go off in our cities on the same day? What happens when the day, the perfect day of Islam comes? Glenn Beck used to talk about it on Fox News all the time. The perfect day of Islam is a day set apart for terrorists to be released against hospitals and schools and malls, bombs going off, shootings taking place, all kinds of things being released into the atmosphere. You have a wild man. His name is Ishmael. His hand is against every man's hand, and every man's hand is against him, but he will prevail when he's held in the hand of Almighty God. That's why the Assyrians in Isaiah were the axe of God. They were the weapon in God's hand. Now, they boasted. They thought it was their own power, and they didn't give glory to God, so God whacked them later. But on a more serious tone here, I believe that with all the rhetoric, all the display, all that's going on through a biblical lens, this nation is leaning against a very weak branch, and the lightest tug to pull this thing down is at the door. And when that happens, everything changes. It's not business as usual. It's what God has been warning us of for how long? Get your ark ready. Get your food, get your water, get a bug out place, get a bug out bag, get yourself into a place where, you know, you're going to be able to walk through this moment better than having done nothing and just waiting for the rapture and it never happened and you're stuck in this thing. And now what are you going to do? I mean, the inevitability of the collapse of this nation, this is a major tree. When this thing falls, it'll shake the earth. When this nation falls, it will shake the earth. The sound of this tree falling is powerful. And to think it won't happen is the heart of the whore. I sit as a woman. I'm a lady of kingdoms. I will never be without children. The idea nothing bad will ever happen to me is the heart of Babylon. And God forbid that God's people would partake of the heart of Babylon and resist the word of God. We thank God that this tree has been hung up on a limb of another tree. It gave us more time. But those employed by Yahweh, whether they know it or not, have been given time to think. How do we do this? What are we going to do? They don't know God's putting thoughts into their heart and mind. Assyria did not know. The king of Babylon did not know that God was giving them this power. So the time for us to get ready has also been time for the adversary to perfect his skill, to release a sharp, polished sword, like Ezekiel chapter 21 says. The sword of Damocles hanging over the nations, said President John F. Kennedy, is the nuclear sword of Damocles. We are positioned for collapse. I think it's very real. And I think the next event, the sixth seal in the scriptures, is a possibility that we should be paying attention to. All the other signs are here. Now, what I'd like to do is give opportunity to our friends and family to speak into this. If you're out there today, you're listening to this broadcast, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. I'd love to hear from you. What is God saying to you? Do you have a different perspective? This is what's, I believe, is so obvious, evident, and clear. I don't believe that God has told his people, really good people around the world, to prepare for this time for nothing. That'd be like telling Noah, build an ark, but you're never going to have to use it. I don't believe that. And I don't believe the rhetoric and the propaganda. And I believe that what God would say to the church today, one of your great dangers, one of the great dangers of being a Christian right now, a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not just fear and offense. I believe those twin sisters of destruction are very real, and they're going to sweep many hearts into damnation, unfortunately. But there is a critical danger right now for every one of us, the best of us. It's called compromise. Psalm 119, verse 3 in one translation says that the righteous will not compromise. They will only walk in the path of God. Compromise with this world, compromising with evil just a little bit, or doing things that are just a little bit off, but they're not big things. You're not, you know, doing evil things. Just a little bit of something you know is evil. A little leaven will leaven the whole loaf. The little foxes will spoil the vine. Is there anything that you know from God's word is evil and you're participating in it? This must be confessed and this must be repented of. Trust your conscience that God gave you as a gift that the Holy Spirit could tell you in your conscience if you're doing anything like that. And if you are, if any of us are, repent. Repent from within the heart, and remember the conscience is a gift. Don't be dismayed when things come into your head and go, oh my God, I'm thinking like this. No, your conscience is a revelation of your heart. The Holy Spirit will use it for God's glory to get us cleaned up. Now, these are my thoughts waiting for you. We've got about, 8 minutes or so. Maybe you have a question or comment. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. I'm looking, seeing our friends out here. Good morning to Phil and Joseph once again. Good morning, Joseph. Got some great comments going on here. Terrific. I've got a call coming in. That means I get to put on my headphones and I get to turn up the volume. And I'm going to go to area code 321 and say, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
But it comes up as your name.
Hello, Phil. Hello, Miriam.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you all doing?
Great. I was happened to be reading in Revelation chapter 12 this morning.
Okay.
And it did vary how far I go, but this morning I got hung up on verse 4, where it talks about a third part of the stars are cast into the sea by the tail of the dragon. And I read the commentators and some of them are really good. And they one of them mentioned that's really not physical stars. You know, our star was cast into our Earth, our sun, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about men. And I look at Revelation 9:18, 24:2, and I think that's right. You agree?
Yeah, I think that's possible. Others have said maybe the stars were comets or asteroids or meteorites that were falling towards the Earth. But yeah, I think it's just a darkening of wisdom. And just, you know, going back to Isaiah 47, when you can no longer navigate like a sailor out at sea, when you can't see the sun, moon, or stars, you're lost. You don't know where to go. And the blacking out of the wisdom of this world, that seems to be what's in view, however that works.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, love you, Bill. God bless you. Yeah, love you, Miriam. God bless you both. All right. We're going to keep the lines open. Yeah, thank you. The lines are open. You want to have a discussion? I'll go a little bit longer if you'd like to go a little longer. Number to call, 818-369-0326. It is Friday. And by the way, this Sunday, well, no, don't say anything. Shh, there's a birthday party going on. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, milestone birthday in her life. And we're looking forward to that. We're going to have a great weekend here. We want you to have a great weekend. So what do you do with this information? What do you do with the information we've just shared? You say, well, it could be, it couldn't be, right? I mean, that's one thing to do. You just kind of listen to a program, and I heard this, and what do you do with it? Well, I believe you pray, and you ask God, is there any truth to this? Bringing Bible prophecy into our right now, is there any truth to it? Is our nation really been hewed at, and are we cut off at the bottom, but we're just hanging on some limb above? Is that true? Ask yourself that question. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 406. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing good. Is this Joseph?
Yeah. You've got my number there. I've sent you an email. I don't know. I'm being censored quite a bit. I'd like for some time you to give me a call so we can talk.
Sure. I will do that. Let me write down right now.
You're probably thoroughly acquainted with the Book of Enoch.
I know it. Enoch. Yeah. A little bit, sure.
And there's a lot of other scriptures. You know, it's pretty clear that the stars represents a messenger, but it also represents the fallen, some of them that are locked up. You can even take a D1000 or D900 camera and see the different images of that. It's spoken in Ezekiel, the prisons of the stars.
Okay.
But there's a lot to that. I mean, you know, you're talking about the axe, you know, the fasci has an axe in it, you know, and the system that is governing this world, that a lot of the studies that we understand. But this was a long journey for me to understand these things. I had to come out of a lot of things and be chastised in a lot of things. And my story's quite long, but the Father's taken me through different trials all the way from about the same age that you said you received the Holy Spirit. I'd been baptized in our church growing up, but I made a study in 79 with the ministry. But it ended up being like, I can give a long story short right now, is a lot of the studies that I did, I studied the left hand, you know, and there's a lot of studies I've done with ministries, and the Father's had me pick up little things in there, but it's been a teaching to show me how a lot of the left hand can use a lot of truths, but you recognize the little lies that they tell. You know, you take what you need and leave the rest kind of thing. That's mm-hmm. kind of been my story, searching him out. But, you know, we see him constantly throw things at it like billions of years and this and that. And we know there's so much deception. Even the word NASA in Hebrew determines, shows that it's deception. You're talking about the stars and stuff. Even the scientists before the 60s space race started were telling you that the moon is plasma. It's not a physical thing that can be landed on. There's a lot of that stuff we can understand to be probably true that we can't prove. But when you look at the whole broad picture, you can see the things that are true if you take it back to Scripture, but then you can see the deception, their agenda and their deception. And that's being unveiled over the last few years. It took me from 2004 to 2009 before I really got into a study from my family having an agenda of having me basically not included and walking through a lot of things and just trying to do the best of the next right thing and leaving my home and then traveling out west. And from 2009 to date, the father, I've had the opportunity, although being homeless for a lot of years, I've had the opportunity to do massive study from hundreds of thousands of hours. And what I'm seeing now is to just patiently wait, continually study, and see the brick wall that we can't get through to share with people because of all the deception that the, at some point the father is going to tear those walls down and wake those people up and give them one last chance, and then we can share solutions with them.
Amen.
But the most important thing I can see is to be in one accord, like was in Acts. You know, all they were up in the upper room in one accord. There's so much division going on, you know, and we just have to step away from that. But I appreciate your work, and look forward to maybe you give me a call and I'll be on the side here because there's just none of this stuff one human person could figure all out. But if we're in one accord, you know, we can do a lot in the Holy Spirit.
Amen, Joe. Well said. Absolutely. There's nobody alone can figure it out. But the word is there for all of us to break down and study. And I really do appreciate you calling in. And I will, after this busy, busy weekend, give you a shout out so we could have some good quality time on the phone. We'll do that. And so we have come basically to the end of our broadcast. We're a little bit over. And I just want to bless everybody. Have a great week. And remember, do not compromise with what is evil. Enjoy what all is good that God has given you in your life. Run your race to win. You are going to be found in the book of Revelation as an overcomer and those who have gotten the victory over the beast. So just keep on moving forward. Keep on keeping your head up. Don't be afraid. Don't get offended. Don't compromise. Walk in the integrity of the gospel. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And do the kingdom. Let the fruits of the kingdom be manifested in your life as you go. Even today, be encouraged. Because remember, you have been enjoined to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Your born-again spirit is settled upon an unshakable kingdom. Your citizenship is in heaven. Don't be afraid of anything, but understand when these things happen, the word of God is just showing itself once again to be true. All right, we'll see you Monday. Have a super blessed weekend right now on Omega Radio. OmegaRadio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a roundtable discussion with Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Until we meet again, shalom to everybody on YouTube, to everybody out there. Remember, subscribe to our channel and tell people about Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube. We'd love to have a growing audience so that we could share our thoughts. That's what we love to do. We want to open the lines here, hear the voice of many waters. And when it's time to break in and pray, boy, I think it's time to pray. Pray for the president of the United States. Pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. Pray for this ministry. And by the way, if you'd like to support it, we would love for you to do that. You can go to omegaradio.org and omegaradio.org will show you how to support the ministry. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend in Jesus' name. Right now, Omega Radio and Roundtable Discussion.